Good morning, all you wonderful personages out there in listening land. I think by now introductions are pretty superfluous, but if you are a virgin listener, this is Booker T and the MGs with their 1962 masterpiece Green Onions. I'm Adrian Brown, hosting the Sunday morning mod slot on Sid Valley Radio, East Devon's premier radio station. And over the next 2 hours, the very best in rock, pop, soul, blues and modern jazz is going to be winging its way through the ether straight into your shell likes. Terms and conditions apply.
It's not unusual, you ought to be loved by anyone. It's not unusual, you ought to have fun with anyone. But when I see you hanging about with anyone, it's not unusual to see me cry. I wanna die. It's not unusual to go out at any time. But when I see you out and about, it's such a crime. If you should ever wanna be loved by anyone, it's not unusual, it happens every day. No matter what you say, you'll find it happens all the time. Love will never do what you want to do. Why can't this crazy love be more? It's not unusual to be mad with anyone. It's not unusual to be sad with anyone. But if I ever find that you've changed at any time, it's not unusual to find that I'm in love with you. Oh, 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 oh.
Not a bad way to get the party started. It's Not Unusual, written by Les Reed and Gordon Mills, first recorded by a then completely unknown Tom Jones after it'd been initially offered to Sandy Shaw. But when Sandy heard Tom's demo, she was so impressed with his delivery, and why wouldn't she be, that she recommended it that he sing it instead. How's that for generosity? Hit number one in the UK singles charts on 11th of March 1965, and was also his first hit in the United States, peaking at number three on the Billboard Easy Listening chart. Yep. Good morning, everyone. I hope you're having a utterly spiffing weekend, and I have to say we've got a pretty spiffing playlist to look forward to. Today is of course Remembrance Sunday, and we will be observing the 2 minute silence at the end of the show, but we've got a lot of good stuff to get through before then, so we'll make a start with a rattling great blues number from Rock and Pop's greatest ever year.
I believe I lost my blues. Yeah. When I change her mind. When I got up this morning, I believe I dust my blues. When I got up this morning, I believe I dust my blues. Ain't got no time, baby, got no time to lose.
Its origins lost in the mists of time. Dust My Broom was first recorded by Delta Blues giant Robert Johnson in 1936. And over the years, an alternate title, Dust My Blues, sprouted and became something of a standard in the early 60s rhythm and blues boom over here. Autumn 66 is the Spencer Davis Group's third studio album, released on the 26th of August in that stellar year. And that was a very, very solid version, fronted by a ludicrous, ludicrously confident and mature 18-year-old Stevie Winwood. A very good morning to very good friends of the current Mrs. Brown and mine, Catherine and Sandy Hughes, who are listening, wait for it, in Singapore. They've gone over to Singapore to see their friend Steve. Catherine and Sandy, hope you're having a good sunny. Please send Steve our very, very best regards. Thank you for listening in. We're going to stick with blues for Minimo and stay in the southern states, but move a tad north from Mississippi to Tennessee, y'all. I first became aware of Grammy Award-winning Coco Taylor when I bought a Christmas compilation from independent Chicago-based blues label Alligator Records, and very good they are too. And it must be said, our American cousins sure do know how to put a Christmas album together. Coco, known far and wide as a latter-day queen of the blues, was famed for a rough gravel and drawing pins voice. So much so, when I first heard her sing her Christmas number, which you'll hear on my show on the 21st of December, I initially thought that she was a he. Not so. Here she is with a great number written in 1955 by Dossie Terry and released in July on Crown Jewels Alligator Records compilation of just some of Coco's greatest hits. And she's having a little heart-to-heart with a most important person. Well, in my book, anyway. We'll be right back. Marvellous. Coco Taylor of Getting the Drinks in Hey Bartender. A very good morning to Carly and Misha over in Bedfordshire land. I hope you're having a lovely Sunday morning. Thank you very much for joining. And The Who are up next.
I know you deceived me, now here's a surprise. I know that you have, cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and that I don't know about the little tricks you play, and never see you when deliberately you put things in my way. Well, here's a poke at you, you're gonna choke on it too, you're gonna lose that smile, because all the while I can see for miles and miles, I can see for miles and miles. For miles and miles and miles and miles and miles. Oh yeah. You took advantage of my trust in you when I was so far away. I saw you holding lots of other guys, and now you've got the nerve to say that you still want me. Well, that says maybe, but you gotta stand trial, because all the while I can see for miles and miles, I can see for miles and miles, I can see for miles. A surprise. I know that you have, cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and miles and tower in the Taj Mahal, might see on clearer days. You thought that I would need a crystal ball to see right through the haze. Well, there's a poke at you, you're gonna choke on it too, you're gonna lose that smile, because all the while I can see for miles and miles, I can see for miles.
What a thumping track that is, The Who, I Can See For Miles, written by Pete Townsend and recorded for the band's 1967 album, The Who Sell Out, and it was the only song from the album to be released as a single. It remains The Who's biggest hit single in the States, reaching number 9 on the Billboard Hot 100 on the 25th of November 1967. Sadly, it only reached number 10 in the UK, and I'll never stop banging on about this. It's absolutely farcical that The Who never had a number one hit here. And to put it mildly, Pete Townshend was disappointed. He'd written a song believing it would be The Who's first number one, and was on record as saying, to me, it was the ultimate Who record, yet it didn't sell. He said a few more things after that, but I'm afraid that's been banned by the Sid Valley radio censor, probably wise. It's time for the first track in today's threesome, and we're going to begin with a little quiz. Excuse me. So, which great composer, pianist, arranger and producer in a songwriting career that lasted from 1952 to 2020 wrote in advance of 500 songs, including songs and scores for theatre, film and television, and he worked with over 1,000 musicians, in the course of which amassing 73 US and 52 UK top 40 hits, including 7 number ones in each country, and garnering 6 Grammys, 3 Oscars, 2 Golden Globes, an Emmy and a BAFTA. Well, if you said Burt Bacharach, then you win today's star prize. Yep, the mighty Burt Bacharach, undoubtedly one of the all-time great songwriters, and arguably, with apologies to John Lennon and Paul McCartney, Ray Davies and Brian Wilson, the greatest popular songwriter of the 1960s. And that's where we're heading, to the decade where he, together with his brilliant lyricist partner, Hal David, produced his best and most memorable work. And not only that, we're in the hands of three ladies who, for me, were the three premier girl vocalists of those golden years. We've had the Queen of the Blues. Let's hear from the Queen of Soul.
There is no one but you.
immaculate, the blessed Aretha Franklin, the Queen of Soul, with Bacharach and David's I Say a Little Prayer, taken from a 1968 album, Aretha Now, and it became Franklin's biggest solo UK hit, number four. You know I love a good music story, and here's one of the best, a great buccaneering story for you. Georgie Fame's manager, Ronan O'Reilly, I think I pronounced that correctly, he's one of these maverick businessmen that the music business throws up with gay abandon, and certainly in the 60s he couldn't move in the streets for them. He ran the Scene Club in Great Windmill Street in Soho, and it was a haunt very popular with mods. The Who played there on a regular basis, and Georgie Fame and the Blue Flames played a regular Friday night gig. Now, Al Ronan, he recorded a Georgie Fame track on his own independent label, which was pretty much unheard of at the time. And he took it to the BBC and tried to get it played, and they didn't want to know. And he soon discovered that the record industry was dominated by EMI and Decca. And then he tried to get it played on Radio Luxembourg, and again found that the shows were tacitly owned by the major labels EMI, Decca, Pye and Philips, and featured only music from those labels that paid to have them played. So he said, in an Irish accent, which I will not attempt, I've recorded the guy, I can't get it played, we're going to have to start a radio station. So, true to his word, in February 1964, Ronan obtained the 702-ton former Danish passenger ferry Frederica, converted it into a radio ship and named it after the daughter of US President John F. Kennedy. And he could have named it after the current Mrs. Brown, because on Easter Sunday 1964, anchored off Felixstowe, Suffolk, Radio Caroline made its first broadcast. You're listening to the good ship, Sid Valley Radio.
Someday, baby, gonna hitch on you, and together we will live life through. But in the meantime, I'm such a lean time booty, you'll have a hard time. That's why I gotta change my style, you say. Give up my gals a wine. So you can see, I'm gonna need some loving in the meantime. I'm gonna need some catching in the meantime. I'm gonna be a meantime man. Oh, pretty baby, I've always been like this now. No one can change me.
Happy music, Georgie Fame and the Blue Flames in the meantime. Great stuff. Written by John Birch and released on the Columbia label in 1965. Time for the Beatles. Hard Day's Night is the only Beatles album that is wholly comprised of Lennon and McCartney songs. And our next track is something of a triple whammy, as it's a rare ballad from John. It's a rare true Lennon-McCartney collaboration, as Paul wrote the introductory lines, and rarer still, it's a song without a chorus. If you've seen the gloriously entertaining film A Hard Day's Night, you may remember the scene that John sings to a sulking Ringo Starr as the boy set out for a session in a glorious in a recording studio. In real life, our next track was nailed in 15 takes at the legendary Studio 2 in Abbey Road on Thursday, the 27th of February, 1964. John and Paul, like two heavyweight prize fighters at the weigh-in, standing almost nose to nose, sharing a single microphone to record their double-tracked, almost painfully beautiful harmonies.
If I fell in love with you, would you promise to be true and help me understand? 'Cause I've been in love before and I found that love was more than just holding hands. If I give my heart to you, I must be sure from the very start that you would love me more than her. If I trust in you, oh please don't run and hide. If I love you too, oh please don't hurt my pride like her. 'Cause I couldn't stand the pain, and I would be sad if our new love was in vain. So I hope you see that I would love to love you, and that she will cry when she learns we are two. 'Cause I couldn't stand the pain, and I would be sad if our new love was in vain. So I hope you see that I would love to love you, and that she will cry when she learns we are two. If I fell in love with you,
here's purveyor of the finest freak beats, Shel Naylor, to introduce our On This Day in Music feature. And look at what happened in the wonderful, albeit sometimes wild and wacky, world of popular music. So, what was going on down on the 9th of November back in the day? I'll tell you. 9th of November 1961, Brian Epstein saw the Beatles playing live for the first time during a lunchtime session at the Cavern. Struck by their performance, their charisma and their sense of humour, Epstein, despite having no previous experience of being up at the sharp end of the music business, went on to become the group's manager within a couple of months. With some success, it must be said. On the 9th of November 1958, Elvis Presley's Hound Dog exceeded 3 million copies sold in the USA, becoming only the third single to do so, following the old groaner Bing Crosby's White Christmas and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer by the singing cowboy Gene Autry. Those were the other two. On the 9th of November 1967, the first issue of Rolling Stone magazine was published in San Francisco. It featured a photo of John Lennon on the cover, dressed in army fatigues, while appearing in his recent film, How I Won the War. And the first issue included a free clip to hold a marijuana joint, which was rather thoughtful of them. And finally, on 9th of November 1969, Simon and Garfunkel recorded what would later become their signature tune. Arts initially wanted Paul to sing it, but Paul insisted that Art's voice was better suited. It was a decision that Paul would later say he regretted, but he was quite right to insist, as you will now hear.
Oh, if you need
How can music be that good? I've just, on my desktop, when a track comes up, you get a little bar of how many decibels, etc., as you move along the song. And the last third of that song, it just blossoms out as it gets louder and louder and more poignant. Absolutely incredible. The second single from Simon & Garfunkel's fifth and final studio album of the same name, released on 20th January 1970, written by Paul Simon, of course, with a staggeringly beautiful lead vocal by Art Garfunkel. Bridge won 5 awards at the 13th Annual Grammy Awards in 1971, including Best Record of the Year and Song of the Year. And it's by a country Mile, Simon & Garfunkel's most successful single, topping the US Billboard Hot 100 chart for 6 weeks, and was the number one song on the Billboard year-end Hot 100 singles of 1970. Also hit number one in the UK, Canada, France, New Zealand and Indonesia, and it reached the top five in 8 other countries, eventually selling over 6 million copies worldwide. One of the most performed songs of the 20th century, covered by over 50 artists, including Elvis, Aretha Franklin, Willie Nelson and Johnny Cash, and it's ranked number 66 on Rolling Stone's 500 greatest songs of all time. Absolute masterpiece. However, I think we rather need to lift the mood a little after that. And hailing from West London, the All Night Workers were one of those lesser but really good bands that existed near to the bottom of the food chain in the 1960s. They existed in various forms between 1965 and 72, which was a better showing, I have to say, than many of their contemporaries, albeit getting through over 30 band members while on their long journey. And blow me down, when I was doing my homework, I discovered that they reformed in 2012, with most of the members of the final lineup intact, and as far as I can see, they played a gig as recently as May 2023. Here's that lineup from 1969 and a very handy cover of Clarence Carter's Tell Daddy.
I'm
I say. Here's Harry J. All-Stars with their 1969 ska hit Liquidator, held in the current Mrs. Brown's Housewife's Choice. And for the second week in a row, Caroline has kept things simple, and I am all for that. Going for a dance track that she heard on Sid Valley Radio in the minutes before I started my Halloween show. After being sacked from The Clash, where his and Joe Strummer's personalities clashed, get it, and a brace of unsuccessful musical ventures, guitarist Mick Jones' next step was to form Big Audio Dynamite. And the track that Mrs. B has chosen today was released in March 1986 as the second single from their debut studio album, This Is Big Audio Dynamite, and refers to and includes lines from the films of the great British director Nicholas Rogue, including 1970's Performance, which starred Mick Jagger, 1971's Walkabout, the incredibly scary and creepy film Don't Look Now, which came out in 1973, The Man Who Fell to Earth, which starred David Bowie in 1976, and Insignificance in 1985. This last being a comedy drama where four famous characters, baseball legend Joe DiMaggio, Albert Einstein, Marilyn Monroe, and Reds Under the Beds Senator Joe McCarthy, they converge in a New York City hotel one night in 1954. Keep Einstein in mind.
Reality, foresight, mind, flight, magic, imagery, oh. discovery. Gone burst time, but slow recovery. Extra flamethrower, iron bar and gun. Fitting sharp, new owner, a walk in the sun. Back, could the beatbox soundtrack? King of brains, queen of the sack. Executives have heart attack. It's the so-called cellular. The money makers would avoid. Sometimes notions get reversed. Center of the universe.
With your ideas, relativity.
Nice one. Big Audio Dynamite with E equals MC squared. Einstein's famous equation, in which E stands for energy, M stands for an object's mass, and C squared represents the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second multiplied by itself. I suppose you knew that already. Let's have the second round, Burt Bacharach and Hal David threesome, and we're going to stay with cinema for a moment. Supposed to be loosely based on Ian Fleming's first James Bond novel, Casino Royale was, to be honest, a bit of a self-indulgent 1960s mishmash. It got absolutely panned by the critics, but it had a cast to die for. It included David Niven, Peter Sellers, Woody Allen, Orson Welles and Ursula Andress in lead roles. Most of the rest are the great and good of British cinema in supporting roles, and Peter O'Toole and Stirling Moss put in uncredited appearances just so they could work with and no doubt party with the rest of the cast. And I went to see it as a kid. I was 9 years old. I was taken to the Barkin Odeon by my parents to watch it, and I thought it was great when I saw it then, and I saw it again a couple of years ago, and I think it's fair to say that time, it's not stood the test of time well, but this song taken from the film has.
The look of love is in your eyes. Just words can end.
I think I'll put that one in the drawer marked Sultry. The Look of Love, courtesy of the one and only Dusty Springfield. And it's played in the film as, in the scene, Vespa, who is played by Ursula Andress, recruiting stroke, seducing Evelyn, who's played by Peter Sellers. And it's shot through like a super-sized aquarium. And Bacharach Song was nominated for the Academy Award for Best Original Song. And thinking about it, just wonder how much seducing Sellers needed. Not a lot, I shouldn't think, knowing him, the dirty old stoat. Anyway, the soundtrack to Casino Royale was released on the Coal Gems label in April 1967. One more to come from Bacharach. And I wonder who's going to be singing it. Here's another of those lesser-known British beat groups that I love so much, and the Favourite Sons from Hatfield in Hertfordshire are about as obscure as you can get. As far as I can see, they only had one recording session where they recorded 12 tracks in a single day at the Pye Studios in London in early 1966 and a sole single before going their separate ways. Our next track, a cover of Motown group The Contours' 1965 hit First I Look at the Purse, remained unissued until 2002, and it's yet another musical mystery of life because it's an absolute stonker. Knockout track, that Favourite Sons with First I Look at the Purse. On the 21st of July 2023, the world's second greatest band of all time released their ninth studio album, The Ballad of Darren, named for Blur's long-standing bodyguard, Darren Smoggy Evans. It came out to overwhelmingly rapturous reviews. Mojo magazine, my music magazine of choice, rated it as their best album of the year, and sadly, it does appear as though it's going to be their final outing as Blur are once again on hold, and it does look as though this time it's for keeps. Damon Albarn, Graham Cox and Alex James and Dave Rowntree have not played together live since appearing at the Coachella Festival in California in July last year, and they didn't have a very happy experience there. And all four are involved with personal projects, and if it is the end, then the Ballad of Down is a fitting way to go out. It's a magnificent outing, and a good half of the 10 songs deliver an emotional punch, which, to be brutally frank, just turns me to jelly every time I hear them. And two further deluxe editions have unearthed three further songs, and today I'm going to play the second of these, as with several other tracks on this exquisite album. The Swan is reflective and lushly melancholic, and as with the Heights, which I played recently as 19th of October, it brings a sense of finality, of closure, of a relationship that has ended, but one where love will always remain. Whether that relationship is personal, Damon having split with his longtime partner, the artist Susie Winstanley, around the time the Ballad of Darren was recorded, or whether it's an elegy for the band, or simply a farewell to us, the fans, as with the Beatles, the end, I don't know. But I'm coming round to the feeling that it's probably a Blur swan song in more ways than one. Too beautiful. Blur. We're in the second half of the show, and we're going to kick the second half of the show off with a bit of the Rolling Stones. Let's Spend the Night Together. That's not a suggestion, but it's the next track. It was written by Mick Jagger and Keith Richards and recorded in December 66 at the RCA record studio in Hollywood, California, where the group recorded most of their hits between 1965 and 68. Released as a double A single together with Ruby Tuesday in January 1967, reached number three spot in the UK, but wait for this. In the USA, Ruby Tuesday reached number one, while Let's Spend the Night Together, due to what was perceived as the overtly sexually charged nature of the lyrics, received less airplay and stalled at number 55. Oh, our American cousins. Excellent stuff. The Rolling Stones. Let's Spend the Night Together. together. Didn't go down well in America. You're listening to Sid Valley Radio. That's radio by the community, for the community. And today, that community stretches as far as Singapore. Lovely jubbly. We had a dance track earlier from Caroline in the shape of Big Audio Dynamite's E equals MC Squared. We've got another one now. Two dance tracks in one show. The very, very talented Baxter Drury released his ninth studio album, Alberoni, on the 12th of September. And I only had time to play the excellent third single, Schadenfreude, before I scuttled off to Greece. I've had a good listen to it since I got back, and it really is a great album. But not only has Baxter inherited the literacy facility and wit from his dad, the Blessed Ian, he's also inherited Drury Senior's propensity for dropping the old Anglo-Saxon noun, verb and adjective into his lyrics. So I have to be very careful with my selections. I've been through with a fine-toothed comb, and the title track, which takes its name from the bar chain All Bar One, is as clean as a whistle. Whew.
Alberoni, Alberoni, Alberoni. You smuggled a grin, you left me hanging, an empty horizon. That night in Alberoni, I sat in the rain, thought about all those promises made. There's a fragment of love left on a tattered soul. Before I'd even met you, I booked a hotel. That night in Alberoni, I sat in the rain, thought about all those promises made.
Answer the phone, tell me if you're coming to Alberoni.
Alberoni, All Bar One, Baxter Drury, great stuff. Time for the jazz one, and I'm going to play the number that got me into modern jazz right back in the mid-70s. Sonny Rollins, born Walter Theodore Rollins on September 7th, 1930 in New York, was and is widely recognised as one of the most important and influential modern jazz saxophonists of all time. And in a seven-decade career, he recorded at least 60 albums as leader, and he was a great favourite at Ronnie Scott's as well, Ronnie Scott's club. Sonny is still with us, but sadly, the grand old man of the tenor saxophone had to give up gigging in 2012 as his breathing was a bit shot. We're going to go back to November 1975, and I'd just started work in London, and I had my own money to spend. Christmas was a-coming, and having wandered into a record store in the Strand, and I remember the day clearly now, I wandered out again with an LP for my stepfather Dennis's Christmas present. Dennis, as you may remember, pretty good tenor sax man himself, and the guy who got me into jazz. The album was Sonny Rollins, Tenor Titan, and the gift was well received. And on Christmas morning, Dennis stuck the record on, and this was the first track. So here we have Sonny Rollins with bassist Henry Grimes and drummer Specs Wright with What's My Name, originally recorded for the album Sonny Rollins and the Big Brass on the Metro Jazz label on July the 10th, 11th, 1958, right at the very beginning of the modernism movement, which would become mods, of course, and two and a bit months before I was born.
Thank you.
Well, I listened to it that Christmas morning and it was like a light bulb was turned on in my head and I was completely blown away. And in a short measure, I became a modern jazz nut, and I have been ever since. Thank you, the wonderful Sonny Rollins, and thank you, Dennis. We've got the Kinks up next, and today's Kinks offering has two separate credits, both as Dave Davis's first solo single, released on the 7th of July 1967 on the Pi label, then as the second track on their masterpiece album Something Else by the Kinks, released on 15th of September, written by Dave and brother Ray and produced by the great Shel Talmy. Our next track made it to number 3 on the UK charts, prompting Dave Davis to consider a solo career. Fortunately, sanity prevailed, as did the status quo, and I'm saying that as in the existing state of affairs, not the popular denim-clad rock boogie combo. Death of a Clown. Now, in an interview, Dave Davies said that Death of a Clown was written about the repetitive performing schedule that he and the rest of the Kinks had to work through. He said, "One night I nodded off at a party and I woke up and I saw all these decadent people running around. I had a vision of being like a circus clown. I thought, what are we doing? We were going from day to day like performing seals." However, there is a sizable school of thought that believes that the lyrics euphemistically referred to the effects that his legendary hedonistic lifestyle were having on him, both mentally and physically. And if you think for a moment, think of a film of one of those massive old chimneys collapsing, you might get the picture. Anyway, moving swiftly on. On the 29th of August, one of my favourite bands playing today, a New Street Adventure, led by the grotesquely gifted Nick Corbin, and he's a really nice guy as well, released What Kind of World? What indeed? Their first album since 2017, and wholly as I expected, it is a glorious piece of work. Over the last few months, I've played the three advanced singles, Got You Back, What a Woman, and Let Me Loose. And my first pick from the album was Everyone's a Music Maker. And this is the next chapter. Superb.
A page turner, right from the start. Best kind of slow burner, blazing bright with the might of two wondrous hearts. Everything feels so right. You pick me up, I just can't put you down. So as the night closes in, let's cuddle up in the corner. I've got to say I don't every day this way. Stay up until the morning. I'll make tea. Listen while you read the next chapter in our love story. I'm so excited to see where it's gonna lead. What's in store for you and me in our love story? Stick together, we'll find a happy days here to stay. I'm so glad I can say, oh, what a life we made. However it looks, don't deny these two lovers. You can't judge a book by its cover. I'm a sucker for all the suspense, so there's no temptation to skip to the end. You pick me up, I just can't put you down. I'll always want you around, so let's cuddle up in the corner. I am every day this way. Stay up and talk till the morning. I'll make the tea. Listen while you read the next chapter in our love story. I'm so excited to see where it's gonna lead. What's in store for you and me? Of our love story. I'm so excited to see where it's gonna lead. What's in store for you and me in our love story? Stick together, we'll see. Sunny days here to stay. I'm so glad I can say.
Beautiful. Nick Corbin leading New Street Adventure with Next Chapter. Told you it was good, didn't I? Let's have an update on Orwell. Our lovely cat Orwell has settled in very, very nicely, and he's very, very loving and likes nothing more than curling up on the sofa with us. And he spent his first night last night. We got the cat flap open, took the lid off, and he was able to come and go as he pleased. And there he was this morning, much to our relief. So anyway, now he's settled in, I feel able to play our next track, which is all about a furry feline standing in the way of the protagonist's no doubt nefarious plans for his intended, and it is, if I may mix my metaphors, barking mad. Mid-60s mod and freakbeat outfit, the Gnomes of Zurich, hailed not from the Swiss city famous for banking and expensive watches, but from Gravesend in Kent, which appears to be largely famous for Gnomes of Zurich, I suppose. Originally signed to Shel Talmy's Planet label, here they are with the absolutely bonkers Second Fiddle, which was released on the RCA Victor label in June 1967, shortly before the Gnomes' demise in the August of the same year. Kevin King Lear, he went solo afterwards, he's on vocals, and we are calling Cat Lovers Everywhere. Go Second Fiddle, meow, Gnomes of Zurich. Let me tell you a story. In autumn 1982, two highly charismatic and extremely talented men meet in a New York nightclub, and David Bowie and Nile Rodgers hit it off and get on so well that the former invites the latter to produce his next record. We're going to cut now to the second meeting at Bowie's home in Montreux in Switzerland. And Bowie is using a 12-string acoustic guitar that, for a reason probably only known to its owner, only has six strings. And he plays Nile Rodgers a folk-like number that he believes could be a hit, and given the right arrangement. Now, Rodgers isn't impressed and tells Bowie so, and he dismisses the number of sounding like a cross between Donovan and Anthony Newley, and Bowie's voice was actually based on Anthony Newley, a great 60s singer. However, Nile Rodgers, Bowie doesn't give up. Nile Rodgers is not a faint heart, and he sets to work. And the result, recorded in late 1982 at the Power Station studio in New York City, isn't half bad, as I think you'll agree.
Shoes on.
Knockout track, David Bowie, Let's Dance, the lead single and title track from David Bowie's 15th studio album. The single released on the 14th of March 1983 went to number one in 14 countries, giving the great man his third and final solo number one in the UK. And the album released a month later, that went out to overwhelming commercial, if not necessarily critical, success. But it got to number one in 11 countries and remained his best selling album. From one superstar to another, and we've reached the final offering of our Burt Bacharach and Harold David threesome. And who else could it be than the greatest and longest serving interpreter of Bacharach and David's work? Yeah, that's right.
La, la. She said it's really a sin to be mean and cruel.
Blessed Dionne Warwick, released, You'll Never Get to Heaven If You Break My Heart, released in August 64 on the Scepta label. And it was the follow-up single to Welcome By, and on the B-side was an equally beautiful song, A House Is Not a Home. And considering such a beautiful song, I think it deserved better success than number 10 in the States and a very lowly number 20 over here. You've got to love a song with a silly title, haven't you? Doo-Wah Diddy Diddy was written by Jeff Barry and Ellie Greenwich and originally recorded in 1963 as Doo-Wah Diddy, with a single Diddy, by the American vocal group The Exciters. Unfortunately, it was about as exciting as Toothache. So we're going to have the Manfred Mann version instead, with a double Diddy, released on 10th of July, hitting number one spot in the UK and in the US, and quite right too.
There she was, just walking down the street singing.
Doo-wah, diddy, diddy, dum, diddy, doo.
Snapping her fingers and shuffling her feet singing.
Doo-wah, diddy, diddy, dum, diddy, doo.
She looked good.
Looked good.
She looked fine.
Looked fine.
She looked good. She looked fine. And I nearly lost my mind. Before I knew it, she was walking next to me singing.
Doo-wah, diddy, diddy, dum, diddy, doo.
Holding my hand just as natural as can be singing.
Doo-wah, diddy, diddy, dum, diddy, doo.
We walk on,
walk on
to my door,
my door.
We walk on to my door, then we kissed a little more. Whoa. Nearly every single day singing.
Doo-wah, diddy, diddy, dum, diddy, doo.
We're so happy and that's how we're gonna stay singing.
Doo-wah, diddy, diddy, dum, diddy, doo.
Well, I'm hurt.
I'm hurt.
She's mine.
She's mine.
I'm hurt.
She's mine.
Wedding bells are gonna chime. Whoa, I knew we was falling in love. Together, nearly every single day singing.
Doo-wah, diddy, diddy, dum, diddy, doo.
Oh, we're so happy, and that's how we're gonna stay singing.
Doo-wah, diddy, diddy, dum, diddy, doo.
Well, I'm hurt.
I'm hurt.
She's mine.
She's mine.
I'm hurt.
She's mine.
Wedding bells are gonna chime. Whoa.
The Manfreds, love it. We're going to hear from one of my great musical heroes next. I haven't played for quite a while. Vivian Stanshall, probably best known as the frontman and trumpeter for the brilliant Bonzo Dog Doodah band. Well, when the Bonzos split in the early 70s, Vivian went solo. And we're going to play a track from his third solo album, which came out in 1981, Teddy Boys Don't Knit. Now, you might not realise this, but I'm from London, East London indeed, and this you might have gathered that from my accent, but this next song, Ginger Geezer, is all about Cockney rhyming slang.
Geezer, what a ginger geezer. I nearly had a seizure when I clocked him in the frog. Spruced up in me piccolo, me tit for and me daisies, bowling down the rubber with me cherry china Fido, a royal and oily rag, me cherry bread and cheesed. You won't add on what I see, some geezer, an ooly ginger geezer, a geezer with a hooter, I suppose. Around. A geezer. Oh, yes. Spruced up in me piccolo, me chipper and me daisies, I'm bowling down the rubber with me cherry china Fido. I rolled an oily rag, me cherry bed and cheese. You won't know what I'll see. Some geezer, oh yes, a ooly ginger geezer. A geezer with, I suppose, I really had to rabbit and pork to this geezer.
There's your Vivian Stanshall, from the ridiculous to the sublime, a precocious and insanely talented 17-year-old who had already been a professional musician for nigh on 7 years.
Hurt me, not like it's hurt me before. know won't desert me. I'm not alone anymore.
I'm not alone.
Oh, what I can see, this is mine, you can't take it. Long as I know I have love, I can make it. For once in my life, I have someone who needs me.
Yeah, from Stevie Wonder to Squeeze, big fan of Squeeze, and the first single released from the excellent ninth album, Play, released in 1991. Just for Christmas that year, I saw South London's Finest play a gig at the Corn Exchange in Cambridge, and this is the track they opened with, and I think it's rather apt for today.
Yeah.
marvellous Squeeze, Chris Difford, Glenn Tilbert. What a great outfit. Sunday Street. Well, my lovelies, it's time for me to ring down the curtain on another Sunday morning mod slot, I'm afraid, and I'm going to head home to the current Mrs. B and young Master Orwell and hopefully meet up with some friends over at our local. I've hope you've enjoyed this morning's shenanigans as much as I have, and that you'll make a date to join me next week, same time, same place, for another mountain of the most magnificent music available to mankind. Super Scott, Gavin Stewart, will be with you shortly to take you through to 1300 hours with his Swing Across Midday show. You won't want to miss that. But before we do, we're going to observe the 2 minute silence in honour of those who gave their lives in two world wars and beyond. And with this in mind, I'd like to close today with the Ode of Remembrance, lines 13 to 16 from Lawrence Binyon's 1914 poem, For the Fallen. They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them.